Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening and welcome to another edition of Fighting Words on the Fighting Words News Network. Fighting Words is brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, men and women of Police and Fire Services, the doctors, nurses, and first responders to COVID, and also those wonderful people in the supermarket to keep our shelves stocked. Right, Caden?
Yes, sir, man. I'll do my best.
There you go. There you go. Tony, how you doing tonight?
Wonderful. Glad to be here. How's everybody doing?
We're doing good. And everybody knows that the doctor of pugilistics, the architect of the movements in and out of the ring, and the architect of a large family that has all been educated, Mr. Z is here. So Z, how you doing tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm well. I cannot take the label of doctor because that is always and will forever be bestowed upon Dr. Chris. You could call me a scientist, though.
Okay.
Dr. Z.
Well, Well, we got a lot of good things to talk about tonight. Let's start out with Callum Walsh and his great defeat of last week. What do you think, Z?
I didn't happen to see that. I heard a little bit about it. I heard it was a pretty good fight, but ultimately Walsh, he pulled it out. He won.
Yeah, yeah. It was a. It wasn't even close. I mean, he took command almost from the very first minute inside the ring. I think there was one or two that Yeltsin's was able to get off, but the punch count and the scores all showed that Walsh did a great job. Caden, Bo Nickel has come back. What'd you think about that one?
Bo Nickel is
in
the fight.
He's coming in.
He's fought.
Yeah, he's fighting in UFC 300.
I thought you were talking about he already fought. I was like, I don't think that's correct. But he's going to be fighting Cody Brundage. That's just another walkover fight for him, for real. I mean, we've seen him, what he's been able to do in the UFC, outside of the UFC. You know, whenever he steps in the octagon, you're seeing something special. You've never really seen someone with his size, his speed, and his wrestling ability go into that middleweight division now and take the middleweight division by storm like he really has. So I think it's going to be another easy win. Just another stat, really. That's all this fight is going to be. But you never know, man. Fight it always starts 50-50.
Sure. How about you, Z?
I'm just going to kind of agree with what Caden said.
All right. That works. Excuse me. Tony, what about Joe Joyce's win over Cash Ali? And we had talked about Cash Ali a couple weeks ago and his return to the ring after his disaster in Germany, but he didn't do too well here in America either.
No, we kind of talked about it, knew it was going to go that way if he wasn't mentally ready, and obviously he wasn't, didn't go in his favor by any means. But, I can't even really say it was a good fight. It really wasn't close.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell our fans, there's two Zapatas out there working now. One is Bill Zapata, who stopped Hughes last week in an eliminator. And then there's the other Zapata who's fighting tonight. Can you differentiate who they are and which fighter is which?
I more or less know about one Zapata. I'm not too high on the other one. I'm not too knowledgeable about the other one. But I know one Zapata. I forget his first name, but he's pretty good. He's pretty good. Kind of quick hands, and he doesn't mind bringing a fight to you. With that said, he has all around skills, but we'll see how it goes, you know, as he moves up competition. Level of competition improves everything.
Okay. Hey, Caden, I see Oliveira is coming back for UFC 300.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And it's always a big one whenever he's in the cage. And I believe he was supposed to fight earlier. I think something happened, but he's going to be fighting Armand Saryukin. This is a pivotal fight for Armand's career, but low-key, it's kind of a pivotal fight for both of their careers. Charles, he needs that win over a top contender to get back into that belt conversation, and Armand needs that win to also get into that belt conversation. For what Oliveira's been able to do in the past 6 years in the octagon has been astonishing, putting up records like submission record, finishing record, you know, all these crazy stats under his belt, and then he walks up against Islam and gets slumped by that left hook.
Mm-hmm.
Why he wasn't given the immediate rematch? I don't know. But, you know, it is what it is. It went to Volkanovski when that second fight happened. And, you know, Charles Oliveira has just been sitting there waiting patiently for his time. And this is where the window opens. So he's going to have to take advantage of this. But I don't think it's going to go his way. I think Armand Saroukian is too quick, too powerful, and too knowledgeable. And I think it'll end probably a finish. I don't think it'll go in the decision. It very well could be, but we have two finishers, and they're going to do what they're putting the octagon to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Caden, I get a little mentally cautious for Oliveira, because Oliveira, he puts on great fights, and he's extremely competitive, but he's been in there for a minute or two, and he's always going through wars, and that wears on him, especially mentally.
That's true. He's always getting dropped too.
Yeah, exactly. He's always, you know, having to go through those type of rumbles and scraps, and I'm afraid that he might, you know, have the Tony Ferguson syndrome, to where, you know, he still has that name, but he's not at top form anymore, and he's going to just kind of, it's going to get a little worse for him. You know, it's going to get worse for him as he moves on. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that is just the natural cycle of fighters. He's been in the game for a while now, only because his name has been in the limelight for, you know, the past 4 or 5 years. He's been in the UFC for a minute. You know, the first, I forget his first couple fights in the UFC, I believe he had a negative record. And then he just, something clicked in his brain. He started blazing a trail all the way to the top. And ever since Islam Makhachev, you know, it's changed for him. His whole career has changed, it seems like. But again, I do agree with you, man. He has been through some tough battles, some hard fought wars, and that's part of the reason why I don't think he'll be bringing home the W in UFC 300.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Who do you guys think will be the Z? Whoever wins, Ty, whoever wins that fight, who would be the next up for them, do you think?
I would imagine a championship match. It looks like Islam is going to defend the title against Dustin. But if Oliveira, you know, he looked really good his last time out. He destroyed Benil Dariush. And then Armin subsequently also destroyed Benil Dariush, which has us here where they're fighting each other. And I would imagine the winner of this fight is going to be the next title contender.
The weird thing about this new stigma around this around the title defenses, as of late, I don't know. I might be the only one that's recognized this, but you know, it seems like the champions today are, you know, once they get the belt, it seems like they're so quick to try and get that second belt. Where before it was, you know, only a handful of fighters that not only, you know, were champion, were double champion. I think there's only four in UFC history that actually become double champion. But it was only a handful of fighters that even got the shot to become double champion. Now it seems like on every champion's mind, they want to become double champion. And I kind of hate that stigma, because you kind of, to me, you gotta own your division first. But I don't know. I feel like that has changed in recent years.
Mm-hmm. You know what, Caden? It's the same thing that happened in boxing. You didn't move up and try to win another title until you cleaned out your division, typically. Then it just became fashionable to say, hey, I'm a two-weight champion. I'm a three-weight champion. And that's kind of what's happened. And I believe, like you're saying, it's kind of happening in MMA, too, where it's become fashionable to have two belts, even though you have a queue of contenders sitting at your original weight class. I agree with you, absolutely.
I think that's a product of guys fighting, you know, bigger guys fighting below their weight. I think guys, when you're walking around at 190 and you're fighting at 150, 160, maybe 140 something, then you have the luxury sort of doing that. That's why in boxing, you have to kind of give guys like Manny Pacquiao credit because he's a naturally smaller guy who moved up to fight welterweight. You know, people can say what they want to about, you know, if he did what, whatever. You have to give him credit. Where most guys, if you're walking around, you know, several pounds over, then you are afforded that luxury of being a multi-weight champion. As simple as that.
Okay. I agree with you. It's kind of like, to me, the only fighter that has ever really gotten a belt and then immediately gotten, well, not really immediately, but, you know, before they cleaned out the division, got that double champ shot was Conor McGregor. And that's just kind of, you know what I mean? That just makes sense. It's a one-off thing. But now it's just anybody who wants to become double champion. They just, you know, at this point, they just do it. You know what I mean?
Hey, Tony, what do you think about Oscar Valdez and Liam Wilson coming up?
Not the biggest fight, I think, of the world, but it'll be a good one. It should be a pretty good fight for people to watch. I think I know I'm leaning toward Liam.
Okay. Ty, just in case, he is never wrong because as soon as he buys pencils, he tears the erasers off. So, but just in case he is wrong, do you have the ability or can your mom help you out in making some sandwiches for him?
You know, I think we all probably have our own heaping of crow in a refrigerator at this point now, where we each could just go in our own personal refrigerator and just pull some out. So,
sell it on eBay.
Yeah. Ty, what's your thought on the Oscar Valdez and Liam Wilson fight?
Well, I agree with Tony in a sense that it's not the biggest fight on the schedule right now. But with that being said, I lean slightly towards Oscar Valdez. Wouldn't be surprised if Liam Wilson pulled it off, but I do lean slightly towards Oscar Valdez.
Mm-hmm. Caden, what do you think? Jamahal Hill's got a fight coming up this week against Alex. What is that? Pereira.
This fight is actually in April, but he's going up against that. For that interim championship against Alex Pereira. Yeah, if you haven't been paying attention to MMA for the past two years, or even like longer than that, because he's been in the game for a while, but at least mainstream MMA, then you know the name Alex Pereira. Big rivalry with Izzy. After losing to Izzy in one of the most beautiful knockouts I've ever seen. He moves up to the light heavyweight division, tests his luck there. He absolutely, runs through Yuri Prochazka, which we've never seen anybody do that, ever. We'll probably never see anybody do that ever again. But he handled Yuri Prochazka, and he kept him at bay. He looked composed against him, which another thing, we'll probably never see anybody look composed against Yuri Prochazka ever again. But I think it's going to be the same story against Jamahal Hill. You know, Jamahal Hill, he's good. I feel like he's very underrated. But when it comes to the physical freak that Alex Pereira is, he's just too good. You know what I mean? His striking is too good. He's too long. I've seen reports that he's been working on his ground game. And if he can really get that ground game dialed in, we're looking at, you know, a top three pound for pound in the world, in Alex Pereira. I mean, he's an absolute dog. And it's going to be no different in that fight. Alex Pereira is going to take home the W and turn that one into a two in Jamahal Hill's record.
Okay. Ty?
Well, first a little background on this fight. Jamahal Hill was the UFC light heavyweight champion. He defeated Glover Teixeira to win the title. Then he got injured. And then Yuri fought for the title and Yuri won the title, then Yuri got injured. Or was it the other way around? Either way, they both were champions. They got injured. And so Alex Pereira fought Yuri when he came back. Yuri got hurt first. I'm sorry. Yuri got hurt first after he beat Glover. And then they had a fight between Glover and Jermella Hill for the title since Yuri vacated. Jermella Hill wins that fight. Then he gets hurt, vacates the title. Then Alex Pereira fights the returning Yuri Prochazka for the title. That was going to be Jermella Hill against Yuri Prochazka until Jermella Hill got hurt. That's how we got here. With that said, I kind of lean towards agreeing with Caden. The one thing about Alex Pereira, he's a high-level kickboxer. His timing and his power, especially his power, can't be denied. With that said, he's still very flat-footed, and he's pretty easy to hit. You know what I mean? Just being frank. Looking at it from a boxing striking standpoint, even looking at it from a Muay Thai standpoint, he doesn't move his hand. He stays straight up in the pocket. He's pretty easy to hit. It's just that he typically has more firepower. And I do think I would have favored him against Jermella Hill. It's a dangerous fight for him, but I do favor him against Jermella Hill. And I also question what we're going to see from Jermella Hill, because he's coming off of a ruptured Achilles that he hurt playing basketball. And if you guys watch basketball or know anything about that kind of injury, man, that takes a long time to heal. And when it heals, you're sometimes not the same. So I didn't favor him going into the fight, coming off a ruptured Achilles. I really don't feel great about his chances. But he's live. He's live because he hits hard and the head is there to be hit.
Okay. Z, I'm going to ask you this one because I know the roof will go off the house in Newcastle there if I ask somebody else. But I see Laura is coming back. Eric Betty, Laura is coming back against Serrata. What's your thoughts on that one?
It really always depends on what Laura has left in the tank. Laura has done a very, very good style, good job of changing the style up as he's aged. With that said, his style has changed up to be more in a pocket, catch-and-shoot guy. You're still going to be there to accumulate to a certain degree. You just kind of pick and choose what you get hit with when you deal with that type of style. It always depends on what Laura has left. We know that age takes your legs away, so he's not going to be able to move around all fight long. His mind is sharp, but you know the body, you know, it eventually is going to fail you. So as I said, Laura, as high level as his mind is, we just have to see, you know, what he has left in his actual framework.
Okay. All right, let's back over to USC again. Caden, Justin Cagey is going up against Max Holloway on his next fight. What's your thought?
This is going to be my last one that I got to go. I got to go back to work. But
okay.
They're going to be fighting for the that BMF title. Max Holloway moving up. I think it's going to be good. I'm fighting at 170, right? Or 170,
yeah.
150, something like that. Max Holloway is going to be absolutely huge. He's going to be huge, and that's part of, like, I can't wait for Matt. I love Justin Gaethje. Always loved Justin Gaethje, but Max Holloway has always been my dog ever since I got him to the UFC. Him and Conor McGregor are the two fighters I really introduced me to MMA, and they're both kind of on that downward spiral of their career right now, which is why I feel like it's a good fight PR wise. For Max Holloway, but if we're talking about health-wise or record-wise, I mean, Justin Gaethje right now is just, he's, in my opinion, he's levels above Max Holloway. And Max Holloway is always going to have that IQ and that boxing ability, but Justin Gaethje, he is standing funny, you know, brutal leg kicks. He'll take anything you can throw at him, and he has immense power. Immense power from any position, and the ground game's not that bad either. He's a really complete fighter, in my opinion. If Islam Makhachev didn't exist and if Khabib Nurmagomedov didn't exist, we're looking at a fighter that's in and out of that championship all the time. Like, he would be champion for a while if Islam Makhachev and Khabib Nurmagomedov were never born. we're looking at a champion, which is why I'm taking him to just retain that BMF belt and stay true to what he knows. Go out there, put his knuckle on some shins, put his shin on some shins, and it's gonna be brutal as all Justin Gaethje fights are. But I got Justin Gaethje by finish, and it should be some fireworks in that fight. But with that being said, I love all my Fighting Words family, and I'll see y'all next week. See y'all next week. Thanks for having me on. Thanks.
Okay.
See you later, Cade.
Appreciate it.
Good evening, Cade. Have a good night, Cade.
Thank you. Thank you.
Tony, what do you think about when we had the conversation on Monday? Brady and I had been up to St. Pete to see Keith and the boys. And as I was telling everybody, Antonio Tarver had come in to he was his new trainer since Dan has retired. And now on Tuesday, I get a startling message from you, Tony. You want to explain that?
Yeah, our fight that was coming up on March 30th between Tim Zhu and Keith Thurman is not going to happen. It's now going to be Tim Zhu and Sebastian Fedora, and that's because Keith got hurt in training, and I don't think it's shocking anyone. I mean, he's had so many injuries and everything. We all assumed that either he might get hurt before the fight or get hurt during the fight, and
right.
Quite frankly, I'm not happy that he got hurt, but I would rather see him injured before the fight than after the fight. Only problem is I think this might be the end for him now, even though he is claiming he's coming back and he's going to fight again. But I just don't think it's going to happen at this point with this injury. He was messed up, evidently, from what I heard. But I wish him the best. I love the guy. He's great. I just don't think he's going to be able to pull through and get another fight.
No. I would agree with that. After hearing him and seeing him and talking to him, the other thing is with Dan going out of the picture, Carver stepping in, it's Winky Wright is now his main trainer. And Winky is a man that he towers above all down here. Not only is he an excellent fighter, been an excellent coach and trainer, but he does an awful lot that people don't know about. He runs three golf tournaments a year for different organizations, nonprofit organizations. 90% of the work that he does is for children, either with handicaps. He raises money for the Shriners Hospital for Children. He raises money for the homeless down here, and he raises money for children of the homeless. People don't understand that. I know in the Tampa Bay area, there are approximately 2,800 children living in temporary housing, where they're homeless and they move from one shelter to another shelter. The parents get there by 4 o'clock so they can reserve a room and a meal for the kids, and the kids come there after school, or somebody goes and gets them. So I can't say enough about Winky and all the good things he's done in this area. And I know he'll bring Keith around to be an excellent fighter. But like we've always said about Keith, if it's not one thing, it's another. Ever since the accident where he got banged up about 5 years ago, he's just almost a walking ER waiting. Ty, did you have to take a look? There was a thing in Boxing 24, and I think Ring, They have pictures of Fedora and Zion. Did you see the difference in the height?
Well, I mean, that's with anybody. Yeah, that's with anybody who Fedora fights. Yeah, if you see Fedora, that's with anyone he fights. Because he is so tall for the division. So,
great.
Yeah, I'm looking. I'm actually, considering, Keith's injury just happened. Fedora is a hell of a replacement. Hell of a replacement for a couple different reasons. One, Fedora is actually 154. Keith was coming up in weight. That's the way Fedora fights that. Two, if Fedora had not lost his one loss a couple fights ago or a fight ago, like, they would be fighting. First of all, this is a unified title fight now. And had Fedora not lost his title, they both would be going in as undefeated champions. So this was a fight that was in the making until Fedora lost. And what happened was when Fedora lost, Tim Tszyu fought the guy that beat Fedora, Brian Castano, I believe his name is. And Tim Tszyu beat Castano. But had Fedora not lost to Castano, we might have already seen this fight. So this is a great replacement. And what's cool, too, is they're both – it's still even an even playing field because both of them are taking a fight on short notice. Both of them were scheduled to fight on that night. Fedora was fighting on the undercard. So he was going to fight the same night. So they're just they both have to prepare for a new opponent. That's it. But both guys were in camp getting in shape. So that's a good thing. What's particularly, to me, concerning about Keith is he hurt his bicep. And what's concerning about that is that's been a chronic issue. He is constantly – didn't he have surgery on his bicep? Like, that's been a constant issue for him. Yeah, so that's what's concerning because he had – it seems like even with the time off – and again, time off is good, right, because it allows your body to heal. But then when you jump back into training, if you go too hard, you're more susceptible to injury, which is him fighting Tim Tszyu, would have been a great fight to watch. But if you remember when you asked me about it, I questioned the decision. And part of the reason why is because you've been off for 2 years. You may have been training, but you're going into a hard training camp for a real opponent. And there's a lot of variables just getting through camp. And then like Tony said, just getting through the fight. Not talking about getting knocked out, just being able to physically get through the fight without hurting your arm or, something of that nature.
Right.
So, I hope he's able to come back. Loves it. Always enjoy seeing him in the ring. But, again, with this, if he had freaking, twisted an ankle, I'd be like, oh, we'll see him back. If he had, hurt a kneecap, we'll see him back. But because it's the bicep, that just seems like something he hasn't been able to overcome. So wishing him the best. Wishing him the best.
Right. And, he is a different kind of a person. He's similar to Manny Pacquiao. He's been fighting since he was 11 years old. Dropped out of school in the seventh grade. And his whole life has revolved around the boxing there was a doctor here in town that took him under his wing, had him move in with him, and he got Dan interested in him. But he's been, I guess he's been fighting now a very long time. We wish him the very best. I know that he listens to the show, and Winky told me he does too. So we're really proud to have those two as some of our listeners. We wish them all the best in the world.
I'd love to see him get like a broadcasting job or something, where he can make some money and have a good remainder of, his life. Hopefully he made enough in boxing, but he's funny, he's smart, and he definitely, he knows what to say when he's on TV. He knows exactly what to say, and he would be the perfect guy to be one of those broadcasters if his boxing career is over.
Right. And you know what's great about these guys too, right, is we lament when our favorite fighters get knocked out. We lament, you know, when they retire. We lament when they get injured. But by the time we know these guys to lament for them, they've already won. They've already typically gotten to the point where they've made, to a certain extent, generational money. So, you know, we lament because things didn't go the way Keith wanted them to go and the way we wanted them to go. But Keith is fine. He's fine. He's made generational money. And, you know, it is prize fighting, and legacy is important. But, you know, I think of Kwame Brown, the basketball player, who was a first-round pick, and everyone called him a bust. Oh, he's a bust. He's a bust. But at 19 years old, he was able to buy his mom a house. That's success. So,
right.
You know, whatever happens in the arena of the sporting endeavor, a lot of these guys have already won considering where they've come from. So kudos to Keith, however it goes.
Hey, Steve, what do you think about Kayla Harris and Holly Holm coming up?
Holly Holm's been in it for a minute. I have to say that. It really, it's another case of what she has left in the tank. Holly Holm, I mean, she, especially when you're dealing with striking a lot of times, you have to be sharp. Mm-hmm. And when you lose that sharpness, you tend to get caught. You tend to get caught, or you really tend to get trigger style. You tend not to pull the trigger like that. So you just have to see what she has left in her. The knowledge is always there, but we have to see the reactions and, you know, the body, that fast twitch, it gets a little different.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ty, you got anything?
Just a quick comment on Kayla and Kayla Harrison against Holly Holm. Kayla Harrison obviously was the big signing from PFL. She was their blue chip star. She lost one fight by decision, but before that, she had steamrolled everybody. Then even after she lost that fight, she came and steamrolled the next person she fought, which was I forget who it was. It was a former UFC fighter, but I forget who it was. So, you know, she was a big free agent, and, you know, she looked at Bellator, and she, you know, everybody thought she was going to sign with the PFL. She signs with the UFC. So that's Dana White's big free agent signing. He puts her against Holly Holm. Holly Holm, who is, you know, obviously, like Zito said, she's advanced age-wise. But even more importantly, Kayla Harrison's a wrestler. She's a wrestler who takes you down, gets on top of you, and grinds you out. And so, of course, he puts her against Holly Holm, an aging striker who never could defend a takedown in her prime. So it's all about money, right? It's all about making a free agent signing look good, giving them a pay. No different than why MVP fought, it was a great fight too, but fought Kevin Holland, as opposed to like a Bilal Muhammad, a guy that's going to take him down and grind him. You want to see, you know, he wants to get his money's worth when you sign somebody. With that said, Kayla Harrison fought at 155.
Mm-hmm.
UFC does this fight's at 135. So if she's not absolutely dead at the weight, she should beat Holly Holm at this stage of her career. But she fought at 155, and this is 135. It's a huge difference, so we'll see. Huge difference.
Okay. Yeah, you just talked about some money in UFC. I see that they got themselves tangled up in a $350 million loss in the courts this last week. You want to expand on that, Ty?
Oh, I really, outside of the different antitrust suits they've had going on, I didn't read anything of that nature this week, to be honest with you.
I'm
kind of busy. I just haven't been on it quite like I have before.
Okay.
I do apologize.
Okay, no problem. Josh Taylor has asked for another delay for a fight. Is there a chance we're going to see him at all this year?
I don't know, but Josh Taylor, he's another one that's been through.
I knew you were going to say that exactly. He's another one.
He's another one. I mean, he's a guy. I mean, he's sharp. You know, he's been through some things. He's very, very skillful, but, you know, he's coming to that tail end of the career, and it's always, what does he have left in the tank?
Mm-hmm.
When fighters go through, when they go through certain things, wars, and they're on the tail end of the career, it gets dangerous mm-hmm. because you have the name. So you know, everybody coming up wants to see you. And
mm-hmm.
especially in the UFC, they're going to put you up against a guy who's going to, or a female who's going to fade you out. They're going to fade you out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the way the game goes. When you have the name, you know, everybody wants it. It doesn't matter how old you are.
Okay.
With the Josh Taylor fight, real quick, just some context. The Josh Taylor fight is a rematch with the Catterall fight that most people thought Catterall won, but Josh Taylor was given the decision. So it's not really a dangerous fight. Catterall is not a heavy hitter at all. But it's a fight Josh Taylor could lose. And the reason why I thought Vito was going to say, here's another one, because Josh Taylor is another one like Keith Thurman, who the injury bug has really hampered his career more than any opponent, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, that's why I was asking, do you think we'll see him at all this year? But, I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Maybe an interview.
Tony, what do you think?
Yeah. Why he said.
Tony, what do you think about Barrios and Ramos fight? 2 weeks.
Barrios and Ramos. I know Barrios is pretty badass. And which Ramos is it?
I didn't put the first in. Yeah.
When Barrios fights, I mean, he's just that guy. He's a hard hitter for one, and he just, man, that guy's got some stamina too. I think he's one of those that just doesn't get enough credit. I would compare him to what's his name there, Kirk Hammett, Metallica. You know, you get the biggest mm-hmm. band in the world, but he's a guitar player, and he's not the best guitar player in the world by any means. He doesn't get a lot of attention. This guy, Barrios is a good fighter, and he's had his ups and downs, but he doesn't get enough attention. He doesn't get enough draw for what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Z, what do you think of Valentino Shevchenko and Aliyah Garcia fight coming up?
I like Valentina. She's coming toward the tail end of her career too, but she sees the age, you know, she seems to be doing well in her age, especially now that she's not fighting exceptionally heavier people. I expect Valentina to dominate. Usually she, you know, she might have a wrinkle or two in a fight, but I haven't seen her have, outside of Nunez and maybe a fight or two, she doesn't have tough fights. She doesn't have damaging fights. Not to her. Not to herself. She's sharp and she's crisp, and she seems to keep herself in conditioning all year round. And you can kind of tell with certain fighters that they do that. So I think I expect her to dominate.
Okay. All right, Ty, what do you think of Jessica Andrade and Marina Rodriguez coming up?
You know what? That could be a pretty good fight. I favor Marina Rodriguez. I really do, but it's a very dangerous fight. She should, with her range striking, be able to navigate and maneuver around Jessica Andrade. For three rounds, if it's a three-round fight. But, again, very dangerous fight because of, you know, Jessica Andrade has so much firepower. So it's a dangerous fight. But, I would lean towards Marina Rodriguez at this point.
Okay. Let me see here. Tony, what do you think of Jessica McCaskill and Lauren Price coming up on 5/11?
Well, I don't. Unfortunately, I won't be watching that one. But and I really don't know either one of them that well.
Excuse me.
Okay, what do you think, Zeke?
I mean, I like Jessica McCaskill, but we're gonna have to see. We're gonna have to see.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ty, what about Jackie? I don't want to mess up his name. Amorin and Corey McLean.
I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with those names.
Okay.
At least not that pronunciation. Maybe not the pronunciation of those names. But no,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm sorry, I'm not. Yeah, I'm not familiar.
That's why I'm always happy when you're on the show with us, because you're the linguist. Talk about these.
Yeah, but I'm sorry. I haven't had quite the opportunity to read as much as I like to, so I do apologize.
Okay, no problem. See what we got here. Tony, Baumgartner versus Persoon.
I don't know if I'm going to answer that because I'm going to get ripped up by the boys.
Ooh, no, never that. Never ripped up. Never ripped up. Never ripped up.
Oh, man. I don't know. Baumgartner. I'll just throw out Baumgartner. That'd be my guy.
Okay. Ty?
Hey, you know what? I if the fight were made a year ago, I would have favored Baumgartner. She was hot. Delphine Persoon is tough, but I definitely would have favored Baumgartner. She was hot. She was looking good. She had just had the win over Michaela Mayer, then went and defended the undisputed titles. Then she pissed hot. Then she pissed hot. She failed the drugs test. So once someone fails a steroid test, especially in boxing, then it makes me question certain performances, especially the performances that got you undisputed and got you career high paydays. It makes me question these things. So where I would normally favor Delphine Persoon, normally favor Baumgartner over Persoon, I don't know. The jury's out because, like I said, she's coming off a drug suspension, and that always is a red flag to me. And until I see a fighter in the ring again, I can't really predict anything because I don't know anything about what you actually are or what. I'm one of those guys when it comes to steroids and boxing, man. You know what I mean? I'm not. It's life threatening. And
if she's still pissing hot,
if
she's still pissing hot,
if she what?
She's
gonna win. If she's still pissing hot, then she's gonna win. Yeah,
absolutely.
But I gotta say, she could be just it could have been something over the counter, and she could be just as good. She could be the girl that beat Michaela Mayer. But once you fail a drug test, I gotta question if you're that person.
Yep.
Well, and the thing is, when it comes to that, and I hate to say it, and I'm gonna get in trouble, with women's boxing, with women's fighting, with boxing especially, you do not get knockouts like that. So when you're taking a substance, it tends to help your stamina. If you're not getting knocked out, if you have to use your stamina more than that becomes the problem. To where I still would slightly favor Baumgartner, but we have to see, you know, how the stamina goes. You know, does she fade during the later rounds?
Well, Zito, you make a very good point. You know, in women's boxing, there. Not, you know, not every competitor is getting a bunch of knockouts. But Baumgartner was one of them. She was one of them. She was known to have she's athletic anyway, but she was known to have an explosive right hand because of what she did to Natasha Jonas, where she punched her in the face and made her freeze and do the robot standing up for a while. You know what I mean? Like, she was known for that. When Michaela Mara fought, and Michaela Mara said she's not that great a boxer. She's just athletic and has a big right hand. She was known to have a big right hand. So you're right, where they, you know, it helps with stamina, but she was getting power. So I'm curious. Curious and curious, right, Zito? Curious, man. I hate when people fail drug testing combat sports, man. I really hate that. I really hate that. Oh, that is a huge issue for me.
And the thing is this. Would Big Baby Miller have won, have beaten Dubois if he was still on the juice? I don't think so.
I think he would have. If he was still on the juice.
Well,
you know what? I think he would have beat, let me say this. If he was still on the juice, he might not have come in at 330-some pounds, and he would have given him a better shot to beat Daniel Dubois. Because what people don't understand is, you know, by the time these guys get to the fight, they cycled off. What steroid does, it helps with training. It allows you to train longer, recover faster. So when he came in at 330-some pounds, I saw him. I said, oh, you're not on the juice, are you? You're not on the juice. It's going to be interesting. What, you know?
Huh? He can't be. He got popped.
Yeah, exactly. So when those guys, you know what I mean, like I said, at 330, that's where it's going to affect him in training. You couldn't get the weight off. and he felt like you couldn't get the weight off. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, guys, that brings us to the end of our program. Our time is just about up. I want to thank everybody for being so well prepared. Caden, Ty, Zito, Tony, you all did a great job tonight, and I appreciate everything. Tony, you want to lead us out?
Yep, we've got a couple really good fights coming up here in the next few weeks. Looking forward to them. You got the Devin Haney fight in Garcia, April 20th. You got next weekend, which I'm really looking forward to because I want to watch Isaac Cruz, Clavo Romero, which is going to happen. And now Tim Zhu, I'm still going to go with him on this fight. You got Sergey Kovalev going to fight again here in a couple weeks, which probably just a money thing. I think his days are over for the most part, but I expect him to win. I'm going to be watching that one because he was my boy back in the day. So, but great show. Love you guys, and hopefully catch you next week. And we're going to have a good Saturday night next weekend.
We're going to be off next week, Lance. It's Holy Saturday, and traditionally we don't get any listeners on holiday weekend. So, I forgot to say to all of you, I want to wish you and your families a very happy holiday, and please extend our wishes from my family to your family for a great holiday.
Yep, happy Easter. And one more thing I want to throw out, get prepared for that Mike Tyson fight coming up because I believe that one's going to be the real deal.
Yep. Z?
Another wonderful show. I want to thank you, Tony, Caden, Ty, Butch, all of my Fighting Words family. These shows are definitely in memory of Bob, Coach Mellon, and Dr. Chris. Anyone wants to hear any Fighting Words, please do call.
Good. Ty?
Hey, it was nice being on with you guys. I appreciate the opportunity to spend Saturday with you guys when I can. Great show as usual. Tony, I really appreciate you putting the boxing schedule out. I think that's very important. And with me being so busy lately, it keeps me on track so I don't miss fights, even though I watch them on a replay at 3 o'clock in the morning. But thank you, brother.
You
always
got it,
a pleasure talking to you guys. Bob is a co-pilot, Coach Mel. keeps watching over us. Dr. Chris keeps us laughing. Everyone have a wonderful and well 2 weeks.
Great. Again, thanks for everybody. I appreciate it. And I hope you have a safe holiday. Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week. In grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, the men and women Police and Fire Services, the doctors and nurses, excuse me, and the first responders to COVID, and especially the people in the supermarkets that are keeping our stocks, shelf stock. These programs are dedicated to those who have lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman Jeffrey Kolbkop, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Yaswitz, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, San Diego Officer Mike Henmer, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, Sergeant Tom Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, Patrolman Charlie Condit, Tarpon Springs Police Department, Patrolman, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Sergeant James O'Connor, Philadelphia Police Department, Sergeant Chris LeVake, Hillsborough County Sheriff's Department, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrol Deputy Anofo Crispin, Lakewood PD, Deputy Josh Meyer, Nassau County Sheriff's Department, Captain Chris LeVake, Philadelphia Fire Department, Captain Chris Leach, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Arda Pope, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Jerry Fikas, Wilmington Fire Department, Chief Al Hogle, Longwood P Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Deputy Mike Hargrove, Pine Alice County Sheriff's Department, Trooper Chelsea Richard, Florida Highway Patrol, Trooper Joe Bullock, Florida Highway Patrol, Trooper Zachary Benj, Florida Highway Patrol, Sergeant Chris Fitzgerald, Philadelphia Police Department, Temple University Police Department, and Sergeant Ramon Mendez, Philadelphia Police Department, Philadelphia Airport Police. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time will be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rain fall softly on your fields, and the sun shine lightly on your back. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your family always in the hollow of his hands. Good night. God bless, and please remember the rule for the holidays. If you drink, don't drive. If you drive, don't drink. We need everybody back here in 2 weeks. And I want to thank everybody that listens. We just went over the 271,000 listeners worldwide. So we couldn't do it without you and the guys here. So we all appreciate it. Have a good night and a good week.
Shema Hezahir Ma Son Hashem Nevorat Fet Hakuig Again Ma'ir Ma
County Dispatch to 1999. County Dispatch to 1999. County Dispatch to 1999. All units be advised, 1999's response was last emergency. May God rest his soul and all the souls of the faithful departed. Good night, Bob. We love you and we miss you.